Join me in the book of Zechariah, next to the last book in the Old Testament. We will depart from Acts for this Easter season, but then return. But the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, please. If you get to the book of Haggai, turn right. Malachi, turn left. Next to the last book of the Old Testament. Very small book. Very good book. In recent weeks, as I've stated before, I believe it's the Lord's, I don't much believe in coincidence, the Lord's direction in taking us to different ways of studying the gospel. We've mentioned it here at men's Bible study on Sunday evenings, and I think in Sunday schools in different ways. And so we have been, had the opportunity on different occasions to discuss the gospel of Jesus Christ. This gospel, that is the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel that our Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into the world to live a perfect life and go to the cross to bear the wrath, to bear His wrath for sinners like you and me. This is indeed good news for you and me, because you and I are the sinners that our Lord Jesus saved, and we cannot save ourselves, and so we need the salvation that is offered by the gospel. We need the salvation by the Father that is given to us by the Son. And we must come to understand. We've mentioned it earlier. Jeff mentioned it a bit in his prayer. But do we understand completely and thoroughly and as much as possible all that this salvation means to us? First of all, salvation means that the lives are not now our own. We don't belong to us anymore. We belong to Jesus Christ. He's our Lord. And we are the people of His body. We are His church. And with this salvation, our lives are changed. Repentance, it means to change. It means to walk differently, walk in a different direction. It should no longer be lived. Our lives should no longer be lived by our own designs. It should be our desire to live in a way that pleases Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ should be our passion. I ask you, is the Lord Jesus Christ your passion? Is it the thing that occupies most of your conversation? Also, with this free gift of salvation, we have hope eternal. Just as we are not our own anymore, we don't belong to us, I'm not my own anymore. Also, this is not my home. I'm thankful, this is not my home. I have a beautiful promise of a new home, of a new existence, of a new body, of a new being. And all of this awaits all of those who call Jesus Christ Lord. This is indeed the good news. This is indeed the gospel. And over our next four meetings, this morning, on Thursday evening at our service at 7 o'clock, and then both services, both opportunities next Sunday, I want to talk more about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'd like to do it in four ways. First of all, here this morning, we have gone to the book of Zechariah. I want to speak about the gospel and its prophesied coming. And then on Thursday evening, speak of the gospel and its forgiveness. And then Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, at sunrise, I would hope that every one of you are there. Speak of the gospel and its glory. What is the glory of the gospel? And then finally, next Sunday at this time, the gospel and its hope. The hope that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings. So this morning, as I said, the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, I'll read verse 9 through the end of the chapter. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow and fill it with Ephraim. I will rouse your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and make you like a warrior's sword. Then the Lord will appear over them. His arrow will flash like lightning. The sovereign Lord will sound the trumpet. He will march in the storms of the south, and the Lord Almighty will shield them. They will destroy and overcome with sling stones. They will drink and roar as with wine. They will be full like a bowl used for sprinkling the corners of the altar. The Lord their God will save them on that day as the flock of his people. And they will sparkle in the land like jewels in a crown. How attractive and beautiful they will be. Grain will make the young men thrive, and new wine the young women. Certainly speaking of a glorious day, and we pray the Lord's blessing on our reading. Zechariah preached in 520 B.C., 520 years prior to the coming of our Lord. He was a contemporary of Haggai and Ezra. He preached to Israel some 15 years after the Israelites returned from captivity in Babylon. Also, Zechariah is preaching as the temple is being reconstructed, but it is not yet finished. And just so you kind of peg this in history, some 50 years after this occasion, we have the story of Esther and her wonderful, wonderful story. In this morning, I want to concentrate on just a few verses. First of all, verse 9. This is probably one of the best-known verses in Zechariah, if not one repeated most often. Let me read it to you once again. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, in context of this setting, please know the people have been thoroughly defeated. Some, not all, have returned to Israel after the captivity in Babylon, and everything they knew was destroyed in Babylon's taking of Israel several years earlier. Everything they knew was destroyed. Their lives, their homes, their families, their way of life, all of that destroyed, and also the temple was destroyed. And now they are returning to all of this, and as I said, the temple is being reconstructed, although not in its fantastic glory of years previous, but it is being reconstructed, and they are beginning to rebuild their lives. But as you can imagine, hope still runs very, very low. Can there be any hope for this people that God calls his own? Is there a hope in these people that will see them through this time? Yes. This is the key issue of Zechariah's preaching. The hope that's coming. The hope for a people who seem as though they have none. This is Zechariah's preaching here. Now, in our interpretation of exactly what Zechariah is speaking of here hinges on who is this king that he speaks of? This king, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. With our understanding of the New Testament, we don't have a hard time with this passage. We know this to be Jesus Christ. But let me ask, What do these think? Who is this in the eyes of the people who are hearing Zechariah this day? What did those people hear that day? From the subject of Zechariah's preaching and teaching previous to this, one might think it was God himself, as the emphasis of Zechariah's preaching is the work of God in their lives. But God himself riding on a donkey, well, that just won't work. But also here in the literature as it is written, God is the speaker. Remember, a prophet speaks the very words of God. Truly, truly, I say, truly it is God speaking through the prophet. So the text here becomes very quickly first person. It is God speaking. In verse 10, he says, I will take away the chariots of Ephraim. Not the king, but God will. And he speaks of the king. He says, he will proclaim, speaking in third person of the king. So it can't be God. This king is a man. This king is a human being. This king, this man, is one who will be God's chosen ruler, his representative. This is God's Messiah. This is God's Messiah that Zechariah is speaking of, that God is speaking of through Zechariah to the people. He will be king. He will be God's Messiah. And he will be the one who will rule over the kingdom of God. This is who is prophesied that will come. But here's where we should take a minute to understand this idea of the kingdom of God, because it differs slightly in the Old Testament context as to what we see in the New Testament. For the people of the Old Testament, salvation was not seen so much as being provided by the work of a man, not of a man alone. It was more particularly seen in the work of the man, God's Messiah, but in his ruling over and establishing a new earthly kingdom. And so when they say a king is coming, well, they reason in him, well, it has to be a king that has a kingdom. And so we will have a new kingdom. The people of the Old Testament, when they hear words like this, they would think of David's kingdom. They would think of rebuilding David's kingdom or something like Solomon's kingdom in its early years. Yes, there would be a Messiah, but it was the kingdom of God they were looking most forward to. Yes, the man was there, but it was kingdom of God in this earthly kingdom. And I must say, this is not altogether wrong. We can't say this is wrong. Today, we think of the kingdom of God, but ours is more attached to eternity, not so much earthly as it was in the Old Testament. We see salvation more in the person of Jesus Christ, not so much in a restoration of a kingdom. We might do well, however, to think more along kingdom lines. I think we slight that a little bit. We're all about Jesus and his kingship, but what about the kingdom? We are indeed kingdom people. We pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, we have a little different view of the kingdom of God than the folks of the Old Testament. But when we think of the kingdom of God and we think of salvation, yes, we think of Jesus Christ, but also the restoration of his kingdom. We prayed it just a few moments ago. So the people of Zechariah's time, they were looking for a king who would restore the kingdom and bring peace. This king would be, as Zechariah says, righteous and having salvation. He will rule. His rule will extend from sea to sea, from the great river all the way to the farthest reaches of the earth. Because of the blood of the covenant, he will free your prisoners. This is the king they're looking for. This is the king they so desperately need. The folks had a great expectation that this king would come. The temple was being rebuilt. Their lives were beginning to come back together. Surely God would restore the kingdom to Israel. Well, did that king come as they expected? No. Did the king come as he was prophesied? Yes. Yes. The prophecy of Zechariah 9 has come to pass. We have the great blessing of seeing it from our vantage point, looking back to the life of Jesus Christ. Zechariah 9 was accomplished in the coming of Jesus Christ, the man, the God-man, who fulfilled exactly what was said of him. Today, we celebrate this coming. In verse 9 of this that we've read, we can see our Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen the pictures, the drawings, him riding on a small donkey and the palm leaves and the cloaks laid out on the ground, and he comes riding into Jerusalem. Our Lord the King rode into Jerusalem that day, and he is indeed righteous and having salvation. And we need to know also with this coming of Jesus Christ, this is the coming of the gospel just as it was prophesied. Salvation comes from the King that rode in on the foal of a donkey. Salvation comes from the King that is righteous. And just as Zechariah prophesied, he will proclaim peace to the nation, and he will free the prisoners. This was accomplished during our Lord's life here on earth. Salvation did come, and the people were saved. This prophecy has been and is being fulfilled in our own time. But Zechariah didn't stop there. There is more. There's always more with God. In verses 14 through 17, the latter portion of what I've read, we read things such as this. Then the Lord will appear over them. The sovereign Lord will sound the trumpet. The Lord God will save them on that day as the flock of his people. They will sparkle in the land like jewels in a crown. The hard thing with prophecy is answering the question when. Because prophecy in the Old Testament is typically progressive. You get a portion fulfilled then, a portion filled now, and a portion filled later. So I ask the question of what I've just read. The Lord will save them on that day. The sovereign Lord will sound the trumpet. Has that occurred? Has that portion of Zechariah's prophecy been fulfilled? No, it has not. No, it has not. Here is the great hope that Zechariah has before the people, and he's also placing it before you. Not only did Zechariah prophesy our Lord's first coming, he also prophesied about his second coming. There will be a day when the trumpet will sound. There will be a day when our Lord God will secure the flock of his people. And there will be a day when we will be as sparkles in the land. Jewels like in a crown. Matthew 24, the Lord Jesus himself says about that day which is to come. He said, in that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. He will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds from every end of the heavens to the earth. This day that Jesus speaks of, this day that Zechariah speaks of, that day will be the complete fulfillment of the prophecy given when our Lord Jesus Christ will indeed return and claim his church to be his own. But how does this prophecy affect or apply to you? We were not there to see the fulfillment of our Lord Jesus riding on the donkey into Jerusalem that day. We believe this to be true. We believe that to have occurred historically, a fact. But this next portion, then the Lord will appear over them. His arrows will flash like lightning. Where will you be? Where will we be when that occurs? And that's not such a question of location as to a question of being. Do you know of the peace that Jesus brings? Are you a child of the covenant that Zechariah speaks of? He says, "And for you, because of the blood of my covenant, I will free your prisoners." Do you know of the freedom that the gospel speaks of? Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord? But I want to go further. You see, salvation is a wonderful thing that brings us in union with our Lord Jesus Christ. We are then new creations, new beings. That's the beginning of the good news of the gospel. But does the gospel apply to your lives now? Those of you who would identify yourself as believers, are you being freed by the gospel now? Or does life just simply overwhelm you? Are there so many entanglements that you really don't understand the word freedom? See, we are plagued by the residue of our sin. Every one of us. Jesus Christ has taken that sin and has redeemed us before the Father. And as we spoke in men's Bible study the other night, we cannot be more saved than we are, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But are we being sanctified? Are we allowing, are we working, striving, yearning with the Holy Spirit, our lead, our guide? Are we being sanctified? Are we being loosened from the bondages that hold us in? See, Zechariah spoke hope to a people who were desperate. They were looking for a kingdom. They were looking for a restoration to their lives. And he spoke that freedom to them. I speak that same freedom to you, just like Zechariah did. And it will come in the restoration of a kingdom. But more particularly, it'll come in the salvation through Jesus Christ. It'll come through sanctification in Jesus Christ. How many of us are being freed day by day by day through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives? See, that's the gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, he came to save sinners. But he also came to make us more and more like Christ. Are you each day becoming more and more like Jesus Christ? As I know some of you, I can say, yes, we are. As I know some of you, I can say, no, we're not. Some of us like to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And we like to play that game. This is no game. One day, this day will come. The trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise. And as we read in Scripture, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's everyone, not just the believers. But those of us, those that are lost, will also confess that day. But then that day will be too late. My desire with these four messages beginning this morning, going through Thursday evening, then two next week, is to make the gospel so real and so personal that it either comforts or it discomforts. And I see some of you with your head down, so I've reached one goal of making the gospel uncomfortable. And Jesus does get uncomfortable sometimes. There is great hope in the gospel. Zechariah brought hope to the people in the coming of the gospel message through Jesus Christ. Do you know of that hope? Do you know of that hope?